All right. Good morning, everybody. Maybe my music was fading, so sorry about that, but trying some new things this morning and appreciate your patience. Some people just don't like the mad beats in the morning. So yeah, any feedback, welcome. And yeah, welcome everybody to Bitcoin Veteran Spaces number 245, where we talk about Bitcoin. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning. I am joined on stage so far by Neil and BFP. Good morning, gentlemen. Today is Monday, August 18th, 2025. Let's take a look at the time chain today. We are at Bitcoin block height number 910,487, working on about a 20-hour block? Is that correct? Man, crazy. If that's correct. No, that's not right. Sorry, my screen hadn't updated. We're at 910,620. Wow, had that way off. With the Bitcoin price sitting at $115,000, which means you can still pick up around 870 sats for your dollars. All right, a couple of announcements this morning before we get started. Bitcoin Veterans is having their second annual summit on November 10th and 11th in Nashville in coordination with Bitcoin Park. Day one is going to be the conference. You won't want to miss it. And day two, you probably won't want to miss that either. We have range day, so you'll be able to fire some firearms. And looking to get people involved, go to bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025 to get involved. We need speakers, panel topics, and volunteers. If you're interested, we would love to have you come as an attendee as well. So again, bitcoinveterans.org/2025. Also, speaker announcement for this week. We have Rod Rudy from Bitcoin Park. Hope I'm saying his name right. I have not met Rod personally, but excited to have him on. So that should be an exciting discussion for this Wednesday. And then the last announcement, because I know you guys just get so annoyed with all these announcements. We are looking for a producer for the show. So if you guys, anybody in the audience is interested, please DM me. Would love to connect with you and see if it might be a good fit. And also, if you're a speaker and you want to know the topics ahead of time, happy to add you to the Signal group. Please do send me a DM about that as well. And then lastly, for everybody in the audience, thank you for listening. Would love to have your participation. So if you'd like to join in on the topics, please do hit that microphone button to come up on stage. We'll be nice to you. Maybe. No, we will. and if you can't, because you're just listening, and you want to participate, please do drop your comments or your memes or snide remarks, questions in that little purple pill in the bottom right. And we'll try to get to that during the show. We do keep this show hopefully an hour if we can, but appreciate everybody being here. And I think we lost BFP to the Matrix. So I want to say first, good morning, Neil. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing real good. It's been, working on a presentation for gonna give at a local Bitcoin meetup, so like that's been exciting to have something to focus on.
Nice. Do you care to tell us about the presentation? Is the topic relevant to Bitcoin, I would guess?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just it's basically just kind of the book in an hour. The hot topics and just a different way of thinking about it, condensing, compressing the signal.
Nice. That's very good. Yeah, I'll be interested to, I don't know if you put that presentation, in the back channel. Maybe we can get you to do that. That'd be cool. But I would encourage you guys, check out Neil's book. Good stuff. Very interesting, way that he comes about it. And let's see. I think we're getting BFP to come back up here. Maybe Texas Toast as well. Give me a second here, guys, while we rearrange the the space here. Get some folks up here. Good morning, Texas Toast. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I just accepted the call. Sorry I'm late. It's a Monday.
Did you get your coffee this morning?
I got it, but it's empty, man. I got a new schedule, and I'm running low on coffee. I need to refill.
All right. Well, today's topic is broke or broken. Depends on which way you guys want to take it. But my question is, there's a lot of chatter here on X and other places about Bitcoin being broken or broke. The ongoing battle between Bitcoin Core and Knots, we could take it there. Some people are saying the ETFs and Bitcoin treasury companies buying up all the freedom money is breaking Bitcoin. And then we could also cover today if you're broke because you have too much Bitcoin and you have no cash. Or maybe you don't have enough Bitcoin and you're broke because your dollars are debasing. So we can take this anywhere you guys want. I think we have Neil in the car. So maybe, Neil, do you want to chime in on any of these topics? Where should we take it this morning?
I mean, just Bitcoin being broke in general. I think that's kind of, all the things people are pointing at, I actually think it shows how Bitcoin's not broken and working exactly like it's just a tool and it's a freedom tool and people are going to be people and try to scheme and try to, exploit and cheat and like, exploit each other. So it's just like, the fact that people are doing whatever they want with the Bitcoin, I just, you know, to me, that just shows that it is working, that there's not some gatekeeper that's trying to do, like, the only thing that drives, people's actions is the incentives. And when you understand the Bitcoin's incentives and how it punishes the people that try to exploit it, it's just like, I don't know, like, the more people try to game it, the more they're going to get wrecked. And the people that are just understand what it is are saving, DCAing, doing all the stuff that, you know, they're working with the incentives, like they're going to get ahead. So, you know, in the longer this game goes, you know, I would say the more righteous, people come out on top and, everybody else just gets wrecked. So that's what comforts me. My personal opinions on what I would do or what I would run, what node I run, all that stuff. Like that's for me. And I speak my mind with my actions and, contribute to the network. We're peer to peer. We are the same. We are equal. And, I don't know. I have my voice and my actions and I contribute to the network in my own way, and everybody else does the same. So I'm not too worried about Bitcoin being broken. I think these things work themselves out in the wash.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think people get bored, and other people like to engagement farm and bring up some of these issues. I do think it's interesting to kind of go back and listen. I heard a clip from Andreas Antonopoulos, and I think the way he was explaining it and breaking it down very simply several years ago, if not a decade ago, really, I think, was wise. We're coming to it now where people are trying to fight about it. And maybe it's just a lot of noise or engagement farming, as I said, but curious to hear others' thoughts on these topics. Texas Toast, BFP, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, like, people are upset when other people or entities or, you know, how the same people that are upset now when businesses are starting to, you know, see Bitcoin and its potential and allocate towards it. They'll be the same people saying this when AI starts to adopt it or like AI agents. I think it'll be similar. I think a lot of it's noise. There are some salient points about like, you could argue about knots and core and kind of the incentives there, but just the amount of users, I don't think that's a good argument. And the types of users, whether they're businesses or individuals.
BFP, do we have you back, sir? You want to do a mic check?
Yeah, I'm back. I wasn't clear on the question exactly. Can you repeat it real quick?
Yeah, we were talking about UTXO consolidation this morning. No, I'm just kidding. we're talking about all of the different ways that people are trying to say that Bitcoin is broken. And even on a personal level, some people would consider themselves Bitcoin broke. Maybe because they have no dollars and they're living on a complete Bitcoin standard. Or maybe some people are broke because, yeah, they don't have enough Bitcoin and their dollars are, they hold too many dollars and they're debasing. So
you're kind of taking, I'm broke. Everybody's broke.
I don't know about you, but I just got rid of all my Bitcoin because I was afraid that at that last conversation we had Friday, you know, they're going to mark them and, I didn't want to get caught with any Bitcoin, so I just got rid of all mine. So now I'm in only fiat, and I'm giving that away to the poor next. So
you know, with,
I'm going to have zero money.
With in-kind redemptions, with the ETFs, where you can just trade your Bitcoin in for a nice security that's managed and brokered by all of these large banks and institutions, I don't see why you would have sold your Bitcoin. I mean, there's clearly just a better path.
I'm a benevolent, altruistic person, and I'm like the government. I love and care about all my citizens, and I want everyone to be safe and happy. So I'm just in that mood and that mode. So yeah, I've got nothing, and I walk my dog, and I'm happy. That's it.
But if you notice, those in the audience, there are no birds chirping. It is not a happy day for BFP if he truly did sell his Bitcoin, which I don't think he did. But let's focus on this question, really, though. Is Bitcoin broken? And I think what we should really key in on this morning for people, as you listen to the arguments and the debates and the engagement farming and all the stuff, At its core, and I don't mean to use that term, it's not meant to be a pun, but if Bitcoin is broken, it would mean that the rules can be changed against the will of the majority. And we're not seeing that. Now, people try to argue that, and I'd love to get some other voices up here to maybe represent that side. But
The argument is that the rules are not being changed. There's like two sets of arguments for what I'm understanding. Maybe somebody else can clear it up for me, but there's one side that says the rules aren't being changed, but the system is being manipulated into a way that makes it unusable or, you know, kind of breaks incentives, and things like that. And so that's kind of like the knots filters is how I'm framing it in my head. But then there's also the core argument of these guys are also trying to change certain, you know, aspects of the code to, make those types of transactions and behaviors, more incentivized, or at least kind of like the barriers are dropped that were in place in the first place. And so I don't know, it just like goes back and forth. So the real question becomes, you know, will the incentives change, and like, will people be able to use the network the way they want to, into the future? So I don't know.
I think if we dial it back, and maybe I'm making this too simple, but is it the case that the network could stop producing blocks securely? I think that's a question. You know, I think everybody has the freedom to run whichever version, filters or not. But the reality is that transactions are going to occur and miners are going to pick up transactions, whether they have monetary value or not, and put them on network, on the ledger permanently, no matter what. Does anybody else have thoughts on that? It's a showstopper.
We're trying to trigger TC to come on up, but he's not taking the bait.
Go ahead, BFP.
I just don't think that's going to happen these days. If all the miners decided to quit, there's so many just small-time miners. You know, there's Bitaxes everywhere. We're at the most ridiculous hash power we've been at. It's not going away. There's nothing even close to breaking Bitcoin that's in my mind out there. Some serious positioning by the powers that be, and you know they're gonna keep trying, but we'll see. Usually hurts them in the end.
Neil, I think I saw your hand. Are you still interested in speaking this morning?
Yeah. So on the mining bit, like you said, like is the network still capable of you know producing blocks securely? And it's like, I mean, even if like the hash. If we cut the hash rate by like 99%, it would still do, like it doesn't, the hash rate doesn't actually matter, like for the securing of the block, like the network will produce the blocks, you know, like difficulty adjustment and all that. So it's like the thing that I kind of, people get fixated on the profit motive for the miners, but like, I don't think that's the primary incentive for mining. Like the whole purpose of mining is to secure the network, which is in everybody's, you know, every holder's interest is to secure the network. So like, I don't know, if I had to put my little profit hat on, I think mining decentralizes in the future, like massively. Like people are talking about putting, miners in their water heaters, and you know, like it's just like when mining goes out to everybody, where it's just like this, they're matching the utility case of like heating, using the heat for just regular sunken cost utilities. I think that could really change the whole dynamic of mining. So it's not just like I'm this huge miner organization trying to, compete on this, like mining is the most competitive, it might be the most competitive business venture, like in the world. I mean, like as soon as you're making any margin, like other people are going to, you know, be crowding you out for it. So it's just like, I don't know. I'm perfectly okay with the tension. You know, like these competing interests and incentives, like that's part of the, like opposite springs. Like, so people see tension and they're like, oh, conflict, and they get kind of worried about it. But like, I think that it's actually a good thing. Let these things work out. Let the incentives play out. Let people make decisions and do that. And I think that's ultimately why Bitcoin wins.
Well, to me, it's like we get to the end of the adoption S curve. And mining, like nation states, if the majority of your population and your banking and your Wall Street, and it's like if everything is in bed with this asset, it becomes a national security interest to mine. And so in my mind, it's like there will be a time when Bitcoin is mined at a loss monetarily, but it's, you know, it's still considered valuable and necessary. So that's where like the end game is in my head. And so to me, it's just like an adoption path to get there. And we see the payout model with the 4-year halvings. And, you know, maybe there was some thought there that this is kind of a smooth way to transition into that system.
Yeah.
I think the privacy war is basically ramping up, and I think mining offers you a blind, or basically it gives you privacy. Nobody, those are KYC AML free Satoshis going into your wallet. So this privacy war is the next, or battle, we'll call it, because it's the next battle with all the powers that be. And I see a different end game. I see the state shrinking as the currency falls because it makes everything more voluntary and the state, has to adopt. You know, people are always going to need things provided that the government does provide. So I think it stays alive, but it loses a lot of power when it loses the power of the dollar as a control vector. But that's a long way off.
I would agree. I think that is truly a long way off. And main reason being, because you're going to have other currencies, fiat currencies, collapsing into the dollar as time goes on and stable coins become more relevant and prevalent. So that has to happen first. But yeah, I agree. I think we got some good comments on this one. One thing that I think about from the perspective of the argument that by including all of these spam or junk transactions, as some people would see them, this makes it so it's too expensive for normal people to run a node. And for me, I just don't buy that argument, because while the Bitcoin ledger is getting larger and arguably bloated, I don't think that it takes into account the cost of storage space coming down precipitously. So I think if you look at it, right now, depending on which implementation you're running, you should probably have a 2 terabyte drive for your node. And as we all know, the cost of storage space and processing power and RAM is all coming down over time. And so I just think that this hasn't happened quickly enough to actually make it so normal people cannot run their own node. So any reaction to that, any arguments for or against, would love to hear what you guys think. Or maybe I'm missing part of the argument. So would you guys, from what you've seen, would you say that that's the main argument for filtering?
If I understand it right, they didn't actually increase the block size. So like the blocks are still the same, but the UTXO, what is it? The list or whatever, is that, I don't know, I'm not always up to speed, like kind of a retard with like the technical stuff, but I mean, I think the principle in play is just like, you can't increase it at a rate that actually threatens the decentralization of the network. Like the chain is going to get bigger. That is guaranteed. Like that's just what happens when you add blocks, but it's just, are we adding blocks at the rate, you know, it doesn't actually decentralization. And I think I agree with you on that point. Like I don't think anything has changed in that, like that's a threat in that sense.
My spaces is bugging out, but AC, who's a longtime contributor and listener, did post in the comments that this is the more important thing than not. So hit that purple pill if you want to see what he's talking about. But essentially that the fees that are added on top of the subsidy of 3.125 Bitcoin every block are ultra low. And so maybe this is just a place for another reminder that you can consolidate UTXOs pretty cheaply right now. But AC is saying that this may be a more important topic rather than core versus knots or knots versus core, that right now people are using layer twos, or maybe, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, so he's free to come up here, but also that people are not using Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, that it seems that the big ETFs and Bitcoin treasury companies are gobbling up the Bitcoin. And so any of that strike any of you, or any of you want to chime in while we try to get AC up here?
I can go if my audio is good. Can you hear me? Ahead. Yeah, I was going to, I kind of lost my train of thought now. I always go through a dead spot there, but I apologize.
Yeah, so I think the big question is like, because nobody's using the on-chain network, does this pose a threat? Like, are people worried about this? I've seen fees really high and I've seen fees sustainably low this year. So it's kind of interesting, but I do think we have AC joining us. So we'll give him a second to come up here, but I'd love to hear his thoughts. Go ahead.
Real quick. It's good money driving out bad. People are not going to make this their daily currency when they can spend their fiat dollars, and most people have not adopted a 100% Bitcoin allocation like myself, so they're gonna spend the fiat.
AC, good morning, sir. Can we get a mic check?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? How do you have me?
You're sounding great. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, Bob, my point with that image wasn't necessarily the fees, although that is an important factor. Really, it was the fact that I think it was seven or eight, maybe more blocks in a row were all mined by Foundry. And I think that's kind of a big deal, something that we need to be concerned about. I know there's a push in the community for decentralized templates through Ocean. I think that's something everybody should at least look at and consider. You know, the centralization of mining pools is really the big concern. But to your point, Bob, as well, you know, the transaction fees, eventually we're going to hit this tipping point where the block subsidy, that portion of the reward that is cut in half every epoch, is going to go down, and all of these miners are going to have to sustain operations via transaction fees. And really, I think that we're getting close to a tipping point. And we see it as some of these big miners are starting to pivot more into HPC or high powered computing. And I think it was BFP who mentioned it earlier about, you know, the pleb miners at home. And I think Neil mentioned, you know, the heat punks. Really we're getting to a point where I think a lot of these big centralized miners are going to start to move in a different direction for profitability, whether that's HPC or AI. And really it's incumbent on all Bitcoiners to run not only nodes, but do some pleb mining at home, whether that's something like a BitAx or an Apollo or something like that, to contribute to, you know, the decentralized mining. And then at the same time, point their hash power towards something like an Ocean with decentralized templates, to really get away from, you know, these large centralized pools, and really get back to the core and the ethos of Bitcoin, which is decentralization. So I'll kind of land it there. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming up and sharing that. Anybody have any response? Neil, you're emoting BFP. You guys like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I just wanted to say that, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto was AI from the future, meant to pave the road for AI adoption. That is all.
I want to say that these guys are clearly some of the most gifted engineers of, you know, crypto, computers, money. I mean, you name it. Satoshi himself, and not to say the rest of them aren't geniuses too, but they designed this from the ground up to, you know, thwart attacks. And it's 16 years and every person in power that is protecting their fiat currency is well aware, and they're fighting. They just don't know what to do. So kudos to those engineers from the get-go.
Neil, my friend.
Yeah, I agree with just about everything that was saying vehemently. I mean, that's decentralization. Like, that's the whole principle, you know, like that's what makes that's what makes it all work. So it's like, I see that principle is just going to, you know, saturate in or permeate or whatever through all the different functions, you know, even like the idea of, you know, decentralizing the holders, the nodes, and the miners. And it's like, you know, that's what orange pilling is. That's what, you know, we're decentralizing the holders. We're spreading it out. And, you know, you make a new Bitcoiner, you know, I think, you know, when you get to them talking about, hey, you need to run your node, you know, and saying, hey, you need to do your part in like solo mine too. Like, I think that's part of that progression. I mean, I just can't even believe we only have like 20,000 nodes or something like that. Like, that seems like such a small number, you know, compared to how many people hold some Bitcoin. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like your civic duty as a Bitcoiner to run your node and to make your voice heard through your actions. And I'm not a miner yet, you know, I don't have any of that stuff up and running, but it's definitely on the list of stuff to, you know, to contribute. You know, there's only so much time that you have to dedicate towards everything, but kind of tying that into that idea of like, are the ETFs and all this other stuff kind of breaking Bitcoin? And it's like, to me, I can't get it out of my head that the formal functions of money are bundled together. Store of value, medium of exchange, unit of account. So like, they come, it's take one or take all. Like, as long as people are using money, I don't care if they're storing it, you know, to save for later, or if they're using it on chain, you know, for their daily transactions. Like, what's important to me is that you see Bitcoin and you treat Bitcoin like money. I think as long as somebody has that principle and they're acting that out in their life, I'm perfectly okay with whatever actions they're taking.
I think, it gets me thinking about that AC's just sour. It's like I'm teasing about the Foundry, finding so many blocks in a row. I mean, man, they're just on a win streak. It's kind of like the New England Patriots. They, you know, won over and over again. And there were just a lot of people who hate Tom Brady, and that's fine. No, but I do think, to his point, that it is important that, the network stays decentralized. If it's not, then, it's one of the key tenets, right? And so, BFP, I see your hand. Go ahead. Sadly, we lost him. All right. Well, that's too bad. I'm sure he had something amazing to say. Texas Toast?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like the ocean trend is in the right direction. It seems like they're gaining steam. So that's a good thing. I like the, kind of bifurcation that we have with Knots and Core. I think that's a good thing. And then overall, it just seems like weak FUD. Like, we're at a weird point. They've run out of all the rest of the FUD. So we got to dredge up some new stuff and, make people get a little queasy in their tum-tums, and see if they sell their Bitcoin and then make them pay for it. So I don't know. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I like that description. I do think people just get bored, especially in these sideways troughs. Someone should start keeping track of all of the garbage that, has to go back and forth. The reality is that some people just don't like other people and they want to fight about it. I think, you know, in this space, at least we try to laugh at ourselves and, be inclusive, other than to shitcoiners because they have no place here. But, but in all seriousness, no, I do think that we, you know, we try to make sure that people are learning things, but you know, it's fun to kick these things around. I don't want to, jump to any conclusions on any of this stuff. I like healthy debate. I think a lot of times we get into these rooms and spaces and you hear the same things and hopefully the topics that we're bringing up make you guys think. Now, are we going to give you conclusive answers? No, but I think we're all heading towards a certain path and a certain ethos. And so hopefully, you find some of these topics encouraging and, doesn't mean you have to get in the middle of the debate by any means, but it also shouldn't scare you out of continuing to participate in the best money and the best monetary network. And so, I think that's maybe some of the risk that we find out there where people who are new come in and they start seeing these big fights, these big debates and, lots of, again, engagement farming, hyperbole, and it shakes people's confidence just because they haven't done all of the study and they don't know necessarily how to think about these things. And so, am I an expert? No. Have I been in the space quite a while? Yes. I think that the network is, incredible. And that's why I'm here trying to educate people, having fun kicking these things around. And so, as I zoom out, I just want to make sure that people who listen every day and try to understand this stuff realize, sure, we like to have a good time. We like to make fun of ourselves. But we do want to help encourage people to continue on their stacking goals and to not get shaken out of their positions because, they're new and don't have the information. So, yeah, any comments on my big diatribe there?
Go ahead, BFP.
Yeah, I got cut off earlier. I couldn't hear Bob, but I was just going to say we're crazy early when it comes to the spread of this network. And you can just see it when you try to orange people how hard it is. And so this isn't spreading like it's going to at a certain tipping point. And that's when it's, you're going to see the miners. Everyone's going to. It's going to click, you know, I don't know how it all works out, but it'll be fun to watch.
Neil, go ahead.
Yeah. I like what you're saying. Like, to me, you're talking about like priorities, you know, and we're putting first things first, when it comes to orange pilling people. And like, that's kind of one of like the idea of someone being curious about Bitcoin, but scared off by the FUD because there's, you know, that's kind of, I guess, my how I kind of think about the whole privacy thing. You know, it's important, but not primary, where it's like, you know, if I could get, you know, my uncle who's thinking about Bitcoin to get into it, you know, to understand what it's like, hey, you know, you're being debased. You are being enslaved. This is really like the first and foremost thing. Like that's the problem and you need to protect yourself and your family from that. And he gets some ETF. I don't give a shit. Like I just want him to start on his path, to actually start the Bitcoin journey and eventually get further and further down. I wouldn't want him to be like, oh, well, I can't get right now. I don't know how to get the non-KYC Bitcoin. So I just might as well throw in the towel and just say, fuck it. Like that's kind of like, we can kind of err if we hit, we're trying to orange pill people. If we hit them with, you know, too complicated things or this or that, like the wrong, it's also into the person, you know, you're talking to what's going to work best for them, but like we can kind of get a little over our skis and miss the easy low hanging fruit, which is just like, you need Bitcoin. Like you need it in your life. You need a money that doesn't, you know, let you just be controlled, you know, by those at the printer. And it's just like, I want to develop, you know, kind of like almost in the army where we have these SOPs, we have these manuals where it's like, how do you walk the, you know, the 18-year-old kid step by step to being like a proficient rifleman and part of a squad and working within the platoon? Like, how do you transition that? And it's like, well, you do it step by step by doing first things first and then second things and then third things. And that walk, crawl, run type of approach, it's like, that's kind of where I'm seeing, like, those are the products that I want to develop to help kind of standardize that orange pilling process, where we're not asking too much of them when people aren't ready. I mean, because even I'm still on my journey. Like, I have so much shit to learn, you know, and get involved in. But I have to, like, I'm trying to even figure that out for me. Like, okay, what's the next thing that I need to learn how to do to be a better Bitcoiner? But sorry, I'm just ranting.
No, you're good. You know, I agree. You got to teach them crawl, walk, run. But if you've ever been to Navy boot camp and seen the remedial swim class, you can only teach somebody to swim so much without just pushing them in the water. So there comes a point where it's like, people are going to have to just immerse themselves and buy some and use the network, because you can't understand it without doing that. It's as simple as that. So I've been having this conversation with family members and, at our family company. And, you know, I'm getting heat for having an allocation towards Bitcoin, any allocation. This is coming from these Warren Buffett boomers that, you know, he's starting out saying it's against a fiduciary duty to have Bitcoin in your treasury in any allocation. And so then I gave him a general AI response, you know, that refuting all his points. This dude wrote out like an 8-page email, trying to refute Bitcoin. So I just gave him slop AI that actually hit all his talking points back. It took me 30 seconds on the car ride home without having to like sit down and, you know, drain my brain of this crap. But then I got him to move the goalposts of, oh, okay, all these other guys have, you know, de minimis allocations, not zero, but de minimis. And so, okay, so it's not zero isn't the proper allocation. That's the biggest thing to kind of understand and get these people to understand. You are doing yourself a disservice. And I would argue it is, you know, you are neglecting your fiduciary duty if you don't have an allocation to this asset. You know, what is the percentage and all that? That's one thing. But to say zero, I think you are wrong in a huge way, and I'll fight you for that.
The terror your kids must feel at bath time. Texas toast, just throwing them right in the water.
Yeah, my kids are the best swimmers around.
No, it's good. I do think it's true. Like, we, you know, some people put it a little bit more delicately, and other people just have, are short on patience. And, yeah, I do think that some people really are missing the boat, but the reality is that they're going to come to it at some point. And so, you know, I just wonder, if sarcasm is going to work with some people, like, okay, you don't want any, that's fine. And that's where I think we get this have fun staying poor mentality from some people. Not me, but some people.
For me. And,
yeah, exactly. I don't necessarily think that's wrong. But if we are playing the long game, patience is required, especially with a lot of people, who are, yeah, I think
if you,
stubborn.
The thing is, if you understand, sorry to cut you off, but if you understand these people, these, you know, this type of American, you know, man that has done really well in this system and, you know, has his heroes of Warren Buffett and these guys, it's like, they have to be humiliated. They have to, you know, be shown that they're wrong in an aggressive way. That's the only way they're going to get it. And then if they, you know, the strong ones will actually, you know, change their perspective, and that's the people we want. And the weak ones will wither on the vine, and they'll be gone in a generation. So that's the way I see it.
BFP, how big is your hammer?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, the thing that Tex Toast talking about made me think of Jack Maulers when he had a rant. I think it was on his last show maybe, but he's talking about allocation and he's like, 1%? 1%? So you mean, you know, he's like Texas Toast. He'll just come right out and say it, cursing and everything. And he was ranting about, are you a effing idiot? He's like, your 99% is going down in value and your 1% is beating everything, every asset there is. And you have 1% allocated? You're an effing retard. It was great though, but it made me think of Texas Toast.
It does remind me of the meme that says, let's just ignore the best performing asset over the last, you know, 16 years or of all time. I'm not sure if I see hands. Two screens here. One has hands, one doesn't. So I guess I'm going to go with no hands. Other thoughts on this topic, guys? I know we're coming up to the end of the show. You guys would please retweet the space, repost the space. I guess we don't tweet anymore. But yeah, we do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Would love to have you join us. Again, BFP, maybe that's a hand this time. I don't know. My screen's bugging out as usual.
No, it's not. Sorry.
Awesome. All right. So yeah, other thoughts on this topic, or we can shift back, guys, to the, this idea of, I mean, I think we kind of rolled around into it, which is, for the people who don't have enough Bitcoin, and the people out there that are still trying to stack, do people feel broke? I think when the time comes where maybe we get overheated, people, as their confidence grows, because they're solely looking at price, maybe get overextended and tend to put too much in. I do see a lot of people leveraging, trying to borrow unsafely against their Bitcoin, or against other things to buy Bitcoin. And I wonder at what level is it irresponsible? So, you know, just to follow up on Texas Toast, on one hand, you have people who are, vehemently against buying Bitcoin. And then on the other hand, you have people taking maybe some undue risk, especially as the price, runs up. And so just wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts around borrowing, around any of these other things where people are just, trying to stack as hard as possible. And it's sometimes, doing it in a risky manner.
Yeah. I mean, to me, a conservative approach makes sense when you're starting out. Like that is completely logical. And the way to do it. And you really don't kind of get comfortable with the network until you're like two cycles in, honestly, like a good 8 years, 7, 8 years. That's when you really, I've noticed with talking to different people that have been around for a long time, it's like, you know, everybody felt broke probably until they were like two cycles in, because they had an allocation. Even these whales, it's like they had so much Bitcoin, but they were unable to use it because the liquidity wasn't there. And they knew that. And so they were kind of waiting and biding their time. I'm sure they felt broke. You know, the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years they were, you know, involved in the network, to a large extent. So it's an interesting thing. And you gotta pay your dues. If you're super smart, maybe you can learn some of these hard lessons that Bitcoin teaches you. You can learn them quick, but definitely getting over allocated and over your skis and using leverage and these kind of things, it's like you'll learn quicker. But it also has the risk of maybe scaring you off if you're and really, really wiping you out if you're not careful. So.
Yeah, it's that radical responsibility that you often share with us, where people need to be holding on to their own keys, self-custodying, which, by the way, we can help you with. If you need that guidance, please go to BitcoinVeterans.org, plug your information in, get you plugged in with helpful resources to self-custody. But it's also this responsibility of just managing your money and your finance as well. And, I wonder if, what you guys think. I think we have just the, we lost BIP again, but do you think retail is here? And do you think people are going to start getting overextended? And what do you guys think about this whole thing with, even if you're not overextended personally, investing in companies like Strategy and others that are, doing these creative leveraging strategies? Does this worry you? Do you think these are, big, potential problems, when people are doing this, or what do you guys think? Not all at once.
I mean, I'll respond if nobody else will, but, yeah, I mean, it's just like with anything. I think it's kind of healthy and shows some sort of maturing of the, or integration into kind of the Wall Street. It's an embedding. I think it's going to be its demise in the end. But if you're intelligent and use a low percentage, you might be able to get away with it and do well. But make no mistake that, you know, anything that's paper, Bitcoin or on leverage is getting hunted. So you just have to keep that in mind.
Neil, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on, you know, what you want, like what's your goal. And, for me personally, I just want to save. Like they broke savings and I want to be able to save. So I save in Bitcoin. I self custody. That's what I do. I don't want any risk. I don't want to invest in Bitcoin. I don't want to, that's not my area. I'm not an investor. I'm not an expert in all that financial engineering and craziness. So I don't mess with it. If I was wanting to invest, I would invest in a treasury company, or because they are much better at the financial engineering than I am. So I would outsource investing to them if I wanted to invest, but I don't want to invest. I just want to save. I want to be sovereign myself. I don't want any third party risk. I don't want to trust anybody. I don't want anything like that. So that's why I just, you know, I just save in Bitcoin. But I mean, I understand that, hey, if somebody else wants to invest and take those risks and do that stuff, then I mean, go for it. You know, like that's just I just see them as distinct buckets, you know, like, and, I won't cross pollinate those buckets in my mind. Like I have to keep them separate. And I think if you ask yourself that, and you keep those wires, you know, not crossed, I think you'll end up with where you want to go. But if you think you're saving in Bitcoin and buying, you know, a bunch of like, you know, MSTR or something like that, well, like, I mean, that's not saving. That's investing. Like you are taking on risk. And if you're unaware of risks that you're onboarding, you're going to get, if those roosters come home, you know, like it's going to shock the shit out of you. But I don't know.
Yeah. I like how you frame that really, if you dial it back, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but it's Bitcoin is a savings tool for you, sounds like. And so, all these other things, do have counterparty risk, and, most people probably don't belong, playing the game because, really, if you are just trying to save, Bitcoin is the simple answer. You just need to be disciplined and accumulate the asset based on your income and not take on risk by either, lending out your Bitcoin and trying to get a yield, or borrowing against it, or borrowing against anything else. And so it gets me wondering, you know, some people have mortgages that they could pay off with their Bitcoin holdings. What are your thoughts on paying off, say, a 4 or 5% loan, or maybe even lower, 3% loan? I think a lot of people got cheap mortgages back a few years ago. What do you guys think about that? If you had, say, like a 3%, 4% loan, 30-year fixed rate, knew it was locked in for at least as long as you're going to live there, not that we're trying to give financial advice, but how do you guys think about maybe taking money that you could use to pay down that mortgage and buying Bitcoin or not selling Bitcoin that you have in order to, have a bigger stack of Bitcoin, and not pay down that debt. How do you think about that? Nobody's up here with me anymore.
I'm sorry. I'm walking around. I'm getting freaking, I'm at Sam's, dude. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel you there. I'm personally not paying off my mortgage. You know, I see it as I'm going to play their system until it breaks. So that's the way I'm looking at it, but I can see the argument either way. It would make me feel a lot better if I did pay it off. But, then every time I saw Bitcoin price rise, I would be thinking about it and regretting it. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I think it comes back to what you said earlier about being in the space for a couple of cycles. I think back to a vehicle that I purchased during the pandemic, and now looking at how many miles have been put on that vehicle. And sure, I need the utility of it, but man, that I don't know. I think it was like a $40-something thousand car that my wife drives around is now. You know, it's in Bitcoin terms, we're talking almost a quarter of $1 million. So I do think it just takes, time. And so you have to weigh those things out. Obviously we're not giving it advice, but we are saying, these things are difficult decisions. Sometimes you got to take the risk off your plate and you'll sleep better at night. Other times, you just realize what asset you're holding and, it's better to take long-term fixed rate debt and just keep paying on it rather than parting with something that's going to give you a far greater return. So it's a game. It's a thought process. Jimmy, thanks for coming up, sir, and good morning. How's Mexico this morning?
Oh, it's doing great. I got an hour-long walk out in the desert and beautiful, gorgeous morning. Yeah, it's funny. As you brought this up, I was walking around. I've been working all morning, and it just occurred to me, I'm using credit more than I ever have. And ever since I got into Bitcoin for 7 years, 8 years, I've been using credit. And before that, cash. When I moved to Mexico, you don't pay for houses with loans. Loans are not reasonable down here at all. They're becoming more reasonable, but they haven't been at all. And so you never borrow money and you get in the habit of just buying, you know, saving the money and buying it with cash. I use credit cards for travel and things, but I didn't now. I put off purchases all the time. I bought a truck on a loan. It's paid for by Bitcoin. I can pay it off. I won't pay it off because I just keep making money by not paying it off. A 7% loan, expensive. I have a 4% cash loan. That, no problem. Bitcoin, easily. I pay it back with the profits. So, yeah, my problem is I'm a Bitcoin maxi in the sense that I don't have anything else. So I have to sell Bitcoin to live. And I put myself in that position on purpose. I'm not regretting it. I still sell at a profit. Guys get mad. Oh, you're selling your sets. It's like, well, yeah, some of us, that's all we got. And if you go there and you've been in it long enough, you're always selling at a profit. But yes, I put it off as much as I can. And I just realized it bothers me because I don't like having loans. I bought an airplane with cash. I just don't buy things. You know, I used to use credit all the time in the States. I played that game and I had very good credit rating. But it's funny, after getting into Bitcoin, I have borrowed more money and keep these loans going. And it bugs me because I hate having payments. But at the same time, I just kind of laugh because I think, well, I bought it at this and this is what I paid. And I calculate all the interest, all the costs, and I'm still way ahead of the game. So, yeah, and even at a 7% loan, which is not a great loan. But, yeah, I can see, you know, people borrowing. I didn't borrow money to buy Bitcoin, but I borrow money not to sell Bitcoin. And, you know, it's just putting off the debt. It's at least a month because I use credit cards. In some cases, I have long-term loan. But yeah, it's funny how it's got me into using more credit. I hadn't even thought about it until now. But I'm going to be soon paying off a lot of this stuff and just be done with it. I don't like having it and I'm looking at Bitcoin loans too. I have friends that do them with Ledin and friends that do them with all different companies. And, it's enticing at the same time. It's like, you know, I don't know. But I will say this, I started a construction project 2 months ago Yes, I have spent Bitcoin. Yes, I have more money in fiat than when I started. And every time I have built or bought something, you give it a few years and you look back and you go, well, basically I got it for free. In the sense that the profits pay for it. So, you know, it's using your profits in the, you know, it's robbing from my own future. I know this, but I'm also 65 years, almost 66 years old and retired. You know, it's like, that's time for me to use my money. It's not time for me to be stacking more, but I don't recommend people borrow to play that game. In the sense to, you know, buy it. That's dangerous. I know people that do trading on margin. Oh, I've done it. I've done all this stuff, but I do it for fun. I didn't do it for an income. When you do it for income, it's very stressful. And, but yeah, anyway, it's kind of amazing how once you get into the Bitcoin standard, you will find ways to not spend your Bitcoin. At least it's harder and harder to get the sats out of my hands, obviously. At the same time, I have good things to be spending it on, like well for water and construction out here that makes a better future for me. So, you know, it's where do you want to spend them? It just becomes, but I don't buy frivolous shit and haven't for 8 years. I didn't even do it before, but I really don't buy clothes or anything I don't need. You know, it's like, nope, don't really need it. Pass. So it makes a saver out of you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, good comments. And I do think that it's, you know, you brought up a lot of good points, but one of the things that I think of often just as I relate to other people is, you know, as you get older, at some point, when is enough enough, right? And, I think about this myself. It's like, well, I'm stacking, but, you know, at some point you got to enjoy what you saved as well. And so, I had that idea well before Bitcoin, as a saver. It's like, you know, when can you, stop saving? Maybe never, but when can you enjoy it? And at some point, a lot of people, you know, they're just on this 40-year, retirement path, right? They have a career and they save up and, all of a sudden their life has gone by and they now are able to retire, which is great. But I wonder, for other folks, like, especially Bitcoiners, where your purchasing power is actually, outpacing other folks, especially people with heavy concentrations of fiat currencies. At what point do you start saying, hey, you know, I need to live life a little and enjoy some of this? So I do think there's a balance, but, we're going to wrap up the show, guys. Do want to say good morning, or yeah, I guess it's good afternoon for you, Rico. How are you, doing this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. I appreciate you guys' space. I'll have to listen to the recording. I forget what time it is there, but I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, we'll do this again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time, and hope that you guys all join us. Couple of announcements. Please do check out bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Great conference, November 10th and 11th. Love to have you guys there. If you have a topic you want to speak on, plug it in, and we will have a discussion with you. Also looking for a producer for the show so that the opening music isn't going in and out, which I got a lot of DMs about. So sorry about that this morning. But yeah, if you're interested in producing or for all the speakers who come up here, you want to get in the back channel, for the show notes so you can know what we're going to talk about. I was messaging with Pubby this morning and he unfortunately couldn't be here, but did want to send a word of encouragement to everybody. He's getting his teeth cleaned. So we'll get to talk to him tomorrow and, he said he'd join us. So he's not mad at anybody. He's just, occupied. So, but yeah, guys, that's it for today. Awesome Monday. Thanks for the discussion. We'll do it again tomorrow. Any final words from anybody? No, it just looks like I'm getting a bunch of emojis. So, yeah, we'll end it there. Want to wish you guys a great Monday. Make it a great day. And remember, do not shitcoin. It's like taking cough medicine to cure your hemorrhoids.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor.